The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com. Your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
To another episode of Wookiee Radio. It is the Smugglers 310, Derek and myself, Mike. How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello.
All right. It would help if I took myself off mute.
Maybe. Just maybe.
It's overrated.
It's for when you don't want to be heard. Oh, wait, never mind. Check out the homepage, WookieRadio.net. Support our affiliates on the right-hand side of the page. Supporting them supports us, so check them out. And want to contact us at WookieRadio@gmail.com or on social media, X, formerly known as Twitter, or Instagram at Wookiee Radio.
So how long until people stop saying formerly known as Twitter?
Whenever they...
just as long as people will stop actually calling it Twitter.
Well, yeah. I still call it Twitter.
I come close to calling it Twitter because, I'm sorry, X just does not sound right.
No, it sounds stupid.
I concur, heavily concur. So, let's see, we're going to talk The Harbinger, episode 9 of Bad Batch.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some collectible news with this being the final week of Imperial March. And the stuff they released for that, and some Shatterpoint and Legion announcements as well.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about action figures this week a little bit.
Really?
Yes. Did you get the email from Hasbro today?
Oh, did I? I don't know. I haven't checked.
Mike knows what I'm talking about.
Could it?
Oh, yes, I did.
Would that be the one discussing the Last Command 4-pack?
Yeah, those look... Oh, I mean, the Luke and Mara are just standard. We've had those before. But Luke, or whatever they call him, the clone Luke Skywalker, and then George Sabayoth, or whatever however they pronounce it now, those ones are awesome-looking figures.
Yeah, Luke is when Goldust had his stutter. And was collecting action and was helping Hasbro design figures. So who are you working on? Luke?
Yeah. Well, no, because that's what Timothy Zahn decided to call him way back when he first created the character.
Yeah.
So maybe he was the one with the stutter.
I mean, this stuff is, this 4-pack looks amazing. The Mara Jade is a reprint or a recast. So
the black suit Luke.
Yeah.
I know we've had him.
Just going through this as well. The phase. No, let me go straight to. All right. Also released this week or announced this week. Phase 2 Clone Trooper and Battle Droid, which I kind of want the Battle Droid because I have the one from. Where do I have it from? I had the Battle Droid from Republic Commando. It's kind of a grayish.
Yeah.
Or almost black color. It was the gaming greats.
Yeah, but see, this one should come in. I mean, this shows the double box here, but it should come in more of with an actual window box.
Yeah, it should.
Those boxes are terrible. The ones that don't have any windows and the non-plastic packaging, that was terrible.
See, and with this, I'm going to get shot for saying this. And please, RFB, don't shoot me. because I am, and I say that because I'm also working on a 501st costume that I'll eventually get submitted and should get approved. I'm just not there yet, but I really don't want a basic Phase 2 clone trooper. Not in Black Series.
But we've never, oh wait.
I see no problem with that.
Phase 2 would be mid Clone Wars. Is when the armor changed. It's during the Clone Wars. So give us, if you're going to do anything, give us an actual battalion paint job on this trooper.
Well, they leave him blank so you can paint him for whatever battalion you want him to be.
Yeah.
There you go. You can even make up your own.
The NASCAR battalion. And he's all checkered flagged.
You'd actually ruin him that way? Choose a decent racing sport like a Formula One.
It's true.
Oh, they turn left and right, and they actually know what the brake pedal is.
Tangent for a brief second. I watched yesterday on HBO Max the documentary The Lionheart, talking about Dan Whedon. That was intense. Apparently, his two kids are trying to become racers as well. His two boys, Sebastian and Oliver. Anyway. Cool. But I wouldn't mind having the battle droid, because having the two from Republic Commando, I bought two from Republic Commando from the gaming greats from GameStop because, well, they were cheap. It's like, oh yeah. And then damage boxes on top of that. It's like, yeah, I hope this doesn't hurt your collectible value on them. Like, one, you did that when you put the sticker on it. Two, I'm opening them anyway. So, but I do know other battle droids. I don't know if this battle droid is a repack or not.
I don't know.
But look at the clone trooper does kind of look like a repack.
Or you know, like a new repack. I mean,
no, not a repack. A new, potentially new sculpt.
I don't know.
But I know there's some other battle droids that I'll eventually pick up because they're fairly cheap.
Well, I like kind of, if you flip through the pictures of it, I like how you can actually fold it down into packaging mode.
Yeah. Yeah. But the funny thing is, I like the battle droids in the 6-inch in the Black Series better than I like them in the finished collection.
Yeah. Well, that's because you can get a lot more detail on a Black Series.
Yeah.
Even vintage, I mean, Vintage is doing very well. They've gotten a lot better than they used to. But you still have a lot more detail and a lot more articulation in the 6-inch.
It just seems like everything that I've seen battle droid-wise, Vintage collection, everything's so loose on them. It's hard to get them to stand up.
I hate that.
From Heroes and Villains, a Grand Admiral Thrawn bomber jacket.
Ooh, I didn't see that yet.
Of course, I'm looking on StarWars.com.
I'm looking for it on StarWars.com right now. Where's the link for it?
You gotta scroll down.
What date was it on?
Just if you scroll down on the homepage.
It's on the actual homepage. Okay, on the news page.
Yeah, homepage. Scroll down, you'll see everything that'll pop up.
Imperial March, there we go.
Yep. if I thought I'd get away, if I had places to store this, Darth Vader and Stormtrooper holiday animatronics at Home Depot.
Ooh.
I just don't have any place to put these in the off season.
What off season?
with my HOA, there's
an off season all year round.
There's an off season with my HOA, unfortunately.
See, that's your mistake.
Yep.
Oh, I win the lottery. It'll be, got to cover them up, take them down for the season. Now we just build a Rubbermaid shed around them. It comes down at Christmas.
We have somebody in our neighborhood who's had one of those 12-foot skeletons up all year.
Yeah. There's a guy about half a block down from me that has one of the, during Halloween, he got one of the big dragons. And it's still at his house now.
Those are cool.
Dimensional Death Star by Pop Sockets. That one looks pretty cool. And of course, back on March 21st, one of the biggest Imperial March events ever, the Empire State Building takeover.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. I watched it right before we did the show here.
This was great. And of course, on the 21st of last week, we didn't discuss it because it came out the next day. Hasbro announced their Force Intelling Vader and some more Black Series figures that came out. Imaginex has a Darth Vader bought by Fisher Price. It's over 2 foot tall.
Wow.
Blue Milk from True Moo will be coming in stores April 17th.
That's cool, because we actually have True Moo around here. You can get it here.
I think we do too.
We do too, yeah.
It's going to be a vanilla flavored milk. Imperial Stormtrooper Echo Drive watch by Citizen.
Citizen makes some beautiful watches if you can like mortgage your house to get one.
Yep. Black Series Mercenary Balan Skull, which I like this. This looks nice.
It looks like it's going to be another one, though, that he's awesome. He's cool looking. But the only thing that comes with him is one lightsaber, and it's going to be a $30 or $35 figure. It's another one that's not worth the price on Black Series.
I wish instead of plastic that was soft goods.
Yeah,
around his legs.
Looks like his cloak is. It looks like.
Yes, but I wish the other under the armor was the tail end of the tabards were or the obis were soft goods. There's a three pack, Dark Series three pack: Vader, Grievous, and Thrawn. All of these are repacks.
Yeah.
Because the Thrawn is a repack of actually the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive that they had a while back. So I recognize this pet. Star Wars Icons Darth Vader by Inside Editions. And for Micro Squadron, the Bongo Sub from Episode 1.
Neat.
And then from Disney Parks, a salvaged Stormtrooper helmet bucket.
Okay, this one's cool.
And it's being turned into a popcorn bucket. Be available at select locations throughout Disneyland Resort on May 4th. Also available for purchase throughout Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. Also being revealed was Sith Apprentice Darth Maul Legacy Hilt and Collector's Box Set from Disney Store and Disney Parks.
Cool.
If you can get someone to get it for you from the parks, find a smuggler to get it for you from the parks. With the Asajj Ventress set, I've been seeing a lot of people getting damaged boxes where the actual product itself, the outer wood box that has Ventress sabers in it, is damaged. So I would trust that. Then some Phantom Menace 25th Anniversary Collection products coming to the Disney Store and parks. And I saw on Facebook, but no one's gotten back to me about it, there is a Star Tours hoodie available.
Oh, nice.
I want the Star Tours hoodie. So, but going over to comicbook.com, there was also some vintage collection drops. A Dark Trooper on a card. This is pretty much a repack of the Dark Trooper that came in this charge station that was a deluxe last year and a half. Now we get another one just by itself. And we get the HK-87 Assassin Droid. It's a new paint job. Also, too, in vintage collection.
Nice.
Which I think is great considering, like with the Dark Trooper in the pipeline, I don't remember if we talked about it last week or not, is Moff Gideon's Light Cruiser Hallway playset.
Oh, nice.
Which I am definitely looking forward to that.
Okay, when they first presented these in the email, I thought this was actually like a two-pack.
No, it's a four-pack.
No, they're separate. And actually, the prices on these ones aren't going up that far yet. They're still at $16.99.
But for the four pack?
No, each for the droids.
Oh, for the droids. Yeah, $16.99. Which is about, it's a new high for vintage collection. But
on the website here, they're all that price. So.
But I'm okay with that considering retro is sitting between 11 to 13.
Well, yeah, they don't put nearly as much effort into it.
Wait, I don't think that is a two pack.
It's not.
No. I thought he was talking about the.
Okay.
The Last Command.
No, that is a four pack, and that's like $90.
$99.99.
Yep. Actually, the Hasbro Pulse has it for $89.99.
Yep.
And let me see. Hey, you can still as of right now, you can still pre-order it.
It's also available on the Disney Store and will be at the parks at a later date. So,
actually, that puts each figure under $25.
Yeah.
Which is amazing for Black Series.
Yeah. Considering two of them are
new.
Well, we know one is a complete new sculpt.
Yeah. The clone Luke, if you look, it basically just that's at least the head is a new sculpt too.
The head's a new sculpt, but the body
kit bashed it.
Yeah.
The head is new, but the body looks like it's from some other Jedi from the clone or from the Clone Wars era. But the face on this is kind of cool because it looks like he's been on a bender for a while.
Well, if you take a look at his, at least the legs, the above the knee could be whatever. Below the knee, that is the that looks like his boots from his Bespin outfit.
Okay. I know the robes look like a standard any of the Jedi from the Clone Wars era.
Mara Jade's a repack.
Oh, yeah.
And then to me, the only one that really seems like a new figure in general is Joris.
Yeah. I want to know where they come up with the way they pronounce his name. I've never heard it pronounced except for we got Outbound Flight on the audiobook.
Yeah.
And it's like Sabaoth or Sabaoth is what they, it's like, where in the world did they get that from? Yeah. I don't know. It's spelled all weird anyway.
Up next, Star Wars Shatterpoint and Legion announced upcoming releases. Atomic Mass Games has revealed the roadmap of upcoming products for both Shatterpoint and Legion at AdeptCon. So 13 new products were announced for Shatterpoint, adding a mix of already announced and new characters, such as Eden Verso will be appearing in the Today the Rebellion Dies pack, while Han Solo and Chewie will appear in the Real Quiet Like Squad pack. Both will be released in June of 24. In July, Star Wars Rebels will be the focus, with Kanan and Zeb appearing in the Stronger Than Fear squad pack, and Hera, Sabine, and Chopper appear in Make the Impossible squad pack. The crew's longtime nemesis Thrawn will make his first miniature appearance in Not Accepting Surrenders pack, being released in August. Later in the year, Crosshair will lead a squad in Good Soldiers Follow Orders, while Mandalorians like the Armorer, Paz Vizsla, will appear in the This Is the Way squad pack. A new kind of product unit packs make their debut later in the year with We Don't Need Their Scum unit pack, which adds four bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back, which is Boba Fett, IG-11, Bosk, and Dengar. And that would be wrong. It would be IG-88.
No. Yeah. IG-11.
No, IG-11 is Mandalorian. IG-88.
That doesn't mean they did him instead.
Yeah, but it says, which adds four bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back.
Ah.
IG-11 is not from Empire. It's from Mandalorian. Nope. It's IG-88. So, as secondary units. Closing out the year are more characters from The Empire Strikes Back, including Lando, and a Cloud City-themed What Have We Here squad pack, and a General Veer-focused Maximum Firepower pack, both coming out for quarter four. Now, notably with General Veer, we'll have the ability that aims bombardments of AT-ATs, or AT-ATs, sorry, it's AT-ATs. At other players, both Kit Fisto and Ki-Adi Mundi will both make their debut in the game in 2025. Now, for Star Wars Legion, the new releases include Range Troopers, Clone Republic Commandos, along with a specialized unit expansion for the Bad Batch, which could be placed into Rebel Alliance Army as mercenaries. Also coming to the game are Rebel Sleeper Cell units, Imperial Riot Control Squads, both inspired by Andor, Crab Droids, Aqua Droids, ARF Troopers. ARF Troopers will also receive a Jedi attachment. Also showcased were new hard plastic resculpts of Obi-Wan and Grievous. So
these games always look great, but well, for me, I'm not a painter, so it sucks that they don't come painted. But it's like, I would think about checking one of these out. The problem is my favorite minis game of all time is relaunching, and they just announced everything for HeroScape.
Oh, right. Yeah.
See,
is an amazing game if you get a chance to play it.
I would consider the Clone Republic Commandos because I really love the game. I really love the Commandos. I thought their armor was very unique, and I love the helmets. To me, their helmets was the perfect blend of Stormtrooper meets Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, also, you've always been a trooper guy.
Yeah.
I like the Jedi too.
Yeah, but you like name, you can name all the troopers, the different variations of the armor and all this stuff. You're a trooper fan.
I do like the bucketheads.
You're a trooper groupie.
Yeah, what you said. So, well, part of that's because when Attack of the Clones came out, I started collecting all the different clones. And then with Hasbro, it just got carried away. It's like, all right, so there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And like, yeah, I'll go back to the Imperial troops. And then they start getting carried away with that. I'm like,
because okay. They knew you switched.
So basically, I have in the 3 3/4 inch, I have a phase one, phase two stormtrooper and first order trooper that are just the basic troops, just so you can see the progression or the evolution as they had those sets out. I did the same thing with the pilots too, because there were two different sets of actually there's three variants of clone pilots. There's the phase one armor clone pilots. Phase two is either a full mask or combo mask or combo full helmet or combo helmet being with the visor.
And I stand by my comment.
Sorry.
No, everybody has the thing that they're in on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Huh.
But for me to go in and tell you, we know 501st, white and blue. 212, which I think is Cody's units, the white and orange. 332nd, blue, white, and orange because of Ahsoka. But to go beyond that, I mean, I couldn't tell you what Gree's outfit, what group that is, or Wolf's group, or Hauser's. I mean, I couldn't. I know the red and white is the Coruscant Guard, which mainly focused around the Senate, guarding the Senate, and whereas the Chancellor's Guard was the what turned into the Imperial Royal Guard, but were blue instead of red.
Yeah, and they didn't have helmets to start. Well, they kind of had helmets to start with, but it was more robes.
No, they had the helmets, but they had the big plume on it, big blue plume on the top.
But if you remember from the Phantom Menace, they didn't even have. If I remember, they didn't have that. Their faces were showing, and it was like a hood. It was like a hood with the top of it. Those were what's his name's guards?
Palpatine.
Valorum
and Palpatine's. They were also Palpatine's.
Yeah, but like I said, they didn't have the helmet, if I remember right. I'm going to go back and look now. But
They had the helmet with the blue plume. It's just no visor. It was almost like a Centurion.
It was like
Centurion a helmet.
Yeah, I knew you could see their faces.
It's when Palpatine took over, the plume went away, and the visor went in. And then as he took over, was granted emergency power, is when they changed from the blue to the red within the same film. So so this next segment is going to be brought to you by Jersey Ninjas. Go check them out at jerseyninja.com. Use code WeebieGeeks for 10% off.
All right, here's the mission debrief. I'm sending to your terminals now.
Thank you, J7. Let's talk a little Harbinger, shall we?
Indeed.
So take it away, Derek.
All right. So what we like to do here is a little thing I like to call the good, the bad, and the nitpicky, as I drop my pen. That is where we pick something we really enjoyed or a few things we really enjoyed about the episode. Maybe something we kind of didn't like, and maybe some things that just kind of bugged us a little but didn't really take away from the enjoyment of the episode, hence nitpicky. So I think it's best to start with the nitpickies and go backwards to the good and on a positive note. So with that being said, who would like to go first with their nitpicky?
Mine's kind of a nitpicky, but it really didn't take away from anything, obviously, but that's what the makes it a nitpicky is.
Exactly.
They said going up to this that you'd understand what's up with Ventress and why she's still alive. They didn't touch that at all.
Nope.
No. She makes one comment that said something about almost like she's a cat with multiple lives. She's used up a couple of her 9 lives, but it doesn't say
she still has some lives left
at all.
I get your nitpicky because that was almost my same one. I just wish they expanded on that comment more.
Now, I have seen articles kind of explaining how she could possibly be alive.
Well, since you brought it up, I have an article from comicbook.com that
it's probably mentions someone that.
Probably.
Let's hear it.
So, how is she alive? The return was explained. Of course, we know at the ending of Dark Disciple may have set the story of Asajj Ventress' return in motion. After Qui-Lon Voss and Kenobi put Ventress into a murky pool close to her Night Sisters' village, there was a reaction from the water as it turned green and the spirits of the Night Sisters welcomed the fallen Ventress home. In the years since Dark Disciple, Star Wars has done a lot of work building out the mythos of the Night Sisters and their magical wielding of the Force. resurrecting and or reanimation is well established to be within the powers of the Night Sisters.
I'm still saying I think that's what Thrawn's army is. They're all reanimated corpses of stormtroopers.
Right. But I think Ventress is a resurrection.
Yeah.
I don't know. Usually something like that, being resurrected from the dead, tends to change people somewhat, but
it wasn't a Lazarus pit.
That's true. But still, I guess if you have the Force, maybe it won't.
Yeah.
It's easier on your mental state, but
the Jedi who used the Lazarus pit was Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, that was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Jorah Sabaoth. Oh, I see what you did there. The axe.
That's all to say, Asajj Ventress being alive isn't much of a stretch as it would have once been, especially since, you know, within the Ahsoka series, you know, raised new questions about the Night Sisters' history and connection to the Mortis gods that embodied the Force. So while, yes, I agree with you guys, Thrawn's troops are, I think those are the real, what we used to know as Death Troopers. They're now Night Troopers because they're resurrected.
Right.
I still stand by the only one that's not was the one that the captain Enoch.
Yeah,
I think Enoch's still alive. I don't think he.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on with that dude.
All right,
but we saw what they did with Morok. Morok, I think, was given Force abilities, but he was a reanimated warrior.
I think he may have actually been a reanimated Inquisitor. That's why, and he still had all the skills and stuff that
Inquisitor. I think so too. Yeah.
Could be. So been dead long enough, but I think with Ventress, she wasn't. She hadn't been dead long enough. The reanimation or the resurrection would have been easier to do.
She was only mostly dead.
Hey, if it works, if it works there, it works here.
Yeah.
So
and they paid good miracles when it came to her.
Yeah.
But when they checked, she didn't say to Blave or true love.
Yeah.
She just didn't say anything.
This is what happens. Miracle. You get Asajj.
So yeah, that's what I see. I agree with you, Ken. It is the nitpicky that, you know, it's just a throwaway line. You know, I have many lives. Okay, cool. You still got connection to the Night Sisters. But my nitpicky was when Omega asks her about being a Jedi. She totally denies that she ever was a Jedi.
From a certain point of view, she never was anything more than an apprentice. So she never became an actual Jedi. She was never knighted.
Right. But even an apprentice, you're still part of the Jedi Order.
But you're not a full Jedi.
Right.
Okay, so semantics.
I know it's splitting hairs, but... And you gotta think, she never made it to the temple either.
Plus, she could have been lying.
Yeah, she does that sometimes.
True. But that was my nitpicky was the bending of the truth about her ties to the Jedi.
That just means she's getting closer to becoming a Jedi. Because if you notice, the Jedi did a whole bunch of lying in the prequels, and the Sith actually were kind of telling the truth.
Oh yeah,
from a point of view. Yeah. Which is weird to start thinking about. You're like, oh wait, I'm not going to go that direction.
We'll wait for the book to come out.
Yeah,
a certain point of view, the Clone Wars. Volume 1.
How to keep secrets.
So, Derek, did you have any nitpicks?
Yes, I did. Just one. No. My nitpicky is kind of more of a lesser one than you guys, but I did not like her hair.
It was a little weird.
It was bugging me.
Was it too 90s for you? Or too...
A little.
Actually, too... To 2000s for you.
I'm going to say this, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because it's the only time I've ever said this, but I prefer her bald. Maybe I'm just used to it.
Yeah. I wouldn't have minded the hair. I've seen other concept arts or other drawings of her where like the one side was shaved, but everything else, but it was grown out on the other side and what she had. But when she jumps into the water, she is full. No, it just sits on top. It's like a mop top.
Yeah. But
and I agree. I didn't like that. If
actually when she was swimming, it looked kind of interesting that it was sticking like straight up.
I know, right? But when he came out of the water and it was all like, you know, slick back, that wasn't as bad.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it much then. So maybe it's just the bangs or something. I don't know.
She's not meant to have bangs.
Yeah, that might be what it is.
See, that's how you know she's resurrected. She has hair now.
Yeah, that's really it for my my nitpickies. So let's move on to bad. Do you guys have anything bad?
I didn't have anything bad on this one at all. Nothing really stuck out to me on that. I thoroughly enjoyed the story on this one.
I enjoyed the story. I'm just trying to see if there was anything bad at all.
See, for me, my only bad would be actually what your nitpicky was, Ken, and that's that we didn't get any info on it, on her return or anything, as promised.
Unless we're going to get more of her later.
Which I'm thinking we might.
The way they set this up, it looks like it will.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to spin y'all's line that y'all use against me on y'all. Maybe we'll get more in future episodes.
Well, like we just said?
Yes.
But I had to have my chance to say it, though.
Of course. It's my right. So nothing else, nothing bad for you, Ken?
Mike? No.
No. I guess the thing I was thinking would be bad to actually go back into the nitpicky, and that was Asajj testing Omega to see if she had midichlorian count. I was like,
right.
These tests have not.
I was going to say, did you feel that the tests were complete bunk? I sure did.
Yeah. It was like, wait.
Yeah, that's not how you test midichlorian count.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there trying to remember going, no, wait a second. Qui-Gon just did a blood sample.
That was my thought. I was like, when she said she could test her, I was like, oh, do you have like a blood testing kit with you? And you
can take her blood. Should have in the ship.
Right. So
full analysis. So I guess that could be borderline bad / nitpicky. The whole testing was.
Yeah. A little suspect.
Yeah.
All right, then let's move on to the good then. I mean, basically, the whole episode was pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I really liked it.
I will go back to the testing. It's good, too.
I actually really liked the... Well, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say that the testing, we know Omega has a high M count because it's already been proven on Tantus with the machines there. Yeah. I think what Asajj was doing was trying to see how much of it's developed.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think what we're seeing here is the same type of comparison that Ahsoka felt with Sabine. Sabine may have a high M count. She just hasn't tapped into it and didn't start to tap into it until the Ahsoka series. So,
well, also, it was very interesting and kind of cool to see Asajj kind of taking the role of a master a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And knowing it's not someplace that she's going to be comfortable at ever. But you can see she is a totally changed person, though, because she was actually a little bit patient. She was able to do a lot of things that she would not normally have been able to do back when we last saw her.
Yeah.
Right.
But the other catch, though, is if she is working or does any jobs or contacts with the Empire by doing what she did with the test, she could go, yeah, I don't care what your thing says about her M count. She has no force abilities.
True.
Yeah, but I don't see her doing any work with the Empire because she'd be on the top of the list for the Inquisitors. Because remember, they may technically be looking for Jedi, but they're at this point, they're searching for any force-sensitive people, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unless she made some kind of a deal or something with them.
I don't know.
I mean, with the Empire.
Quote unquote mercenary, you know, double agent, whatever. Because who knows? At this point in time, I mean, she drank the same she drank Dooku's Kool-Aid and believed everything Dooku.
That did not sound right.
Say, is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Sure. She drank his blue milk and green milk combined.
There you go. It's getting even worse now, Mike. Just let it go.
Yeah. Anyway.
Derek understood. He's had them.
What?
The blue milk.
Oh, yeah.
You should probably have that checked.
Blue milk definitely tastes better. Anyway, it's the whole bit of, if she's a double agent or whatnot, maybe she does have some pull, but I mean, she has a lot of the values that Dooku and the Separatists had, which looking back were almost the right thing, especially when we saw that in one of the earlier episodes where we had the one senator, Praetorian senator and the Separatist senator taking side, siding with each other. It's like, okay, yeah, these thoughts were the right way. So yeah.
That was also kind of cool that the Bad Batch had never met Asajj, but she was well known enough around the Republic Army that they knew she looked right. Familiar.
Yeah.
So they did a quick check and found out who she was. And, oh, wait a minute. This is not a good idea.
Whereas this is one of those times that I'm like, I am glad Tech was not around, because that discovery would have happened a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of how he was so tied into the ship's database, no matter where he was at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm liking the fact that Tech's not here, so they're having to do a little bit more work to tie in with it.
Well, it's basically, I hate to look at it this way, but with Echo around, they almost don't need Tech there.
But Echo,
it's sort of a very similar role.
But Echo's not around, though.
I know. Well, initially he was.
Initially.
And he'll be back around. I mean, that's where they got the info. They called Echo.
Right. Well, sidetracking here. There has been talk that there is a new series coming, animated series, that will be starring Echo, yeah. Rex, and potentially Wolf and Gregor.
That would be cool.
With them, I guess, rescuing more clones or converting over more clones.
Well, also, that would start to set up what we meet later down the road with Wolf, Gregor, and Rex being on that planet.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Which would be interesting going into a show, finally realizing that, oh, we do know what happens. We don't have to be sad at the end of this because we know these guys are going to survive.
Well, we know at the end one of them will survive. We know the three survive through Rebels.
Exactly.
And the way everything's been retconned afterwards, we know Rex survives through Return of the Jedi.
They still have, that's still not officially canon.
Just stating.
Until I get something from Lucasfilm saying that that's what that is. You know what I mean? There's now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The closest I've heard is Filoni. Is Filoni has said that's Rex.
If I remember right, no, he just didn't deny it, which is it's a slight distinction, but it is a difference. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've read the articles about it, and last I saw was he just didn't deny it. He's like, that's a cool idea or something. That came down to the idea of that's a good idea or something like that. He did a Dave Filoni. He neither confirmed nor denied any.
He pulled himself.
Yes.
So
the man knows how to tap dance better than like Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say that without a doubt. You can say that. So, where do we head next? Our ratings for this episode. Ken, take it away.
Has anybody come up with a name for this thing yet?
No, not yet. We could call this the M count.
Yeah. Well, it did come from an M because it's the Michael Rosenbaum rating system.
Let's give it the M count.
Or the M rating.
It's the M count. Here we go.
You don't want to rate the episodes M?
Just how
immature.
How strong is the force with these episodes?
Yes.
The M count.
It comes down to Michael Rosenbaum came up with this for a lot of movies and stuff. If you ever listen to his Inside of You podcast and some of the other, they use it in their Smallville rewatch podcast, where it's instead of going a 1 through 10 or 1 through 5, it's a -3 to +3, where +3 is the greatest thing ever put on cinema and on screen, and -3 is the worst dribble you've ever seen in your life. And it was 0 is actually heaters right down the middle. Is just a good episode, a decent episode. There's nothing good, not great. It's not terrible. It's just a good episode.
It's just there.
It's there. So what do you got for this week, guys?
I'll take this one first. I'm going to go 2.25. I mean, I very little nitpickies, really no bad at all. Very happy with everything that was done. It still show, you know, I felt it. It showed Omega's leadership even more, how she's slowly becoming the leader of the Bad Batch with certain events more than Hunter. Plus, it was an episode where we didn't see Crosshair's hand tremor at all.
This is true.
Well, last episode, they actually they advanced that a little bit so that we can sit back for a minute and let that stew.
Yeah. But there was
halfway through the season.
But there was no reason for us to be seeing a tremor in his hand anyway. So, but no, it was 2.25. I thought it was definitely very solid. One of the better episodes of the season. So who's next?
Well, while you're thinking, Derek, here, I'm going to, I'm kind of changing up the way I'm doing these for me personally, because remember, Zero is supposed to be just a good episode down the center. So I'm going to, for me in my head, I'm going to start looking at these because my ratings are going to come down a little bit, I think. So I'm going to start with Zero, and then what moves it up from there, or what would move it down? You know what I mean? If you started as a Zero baseline, for me, this episode, it was good. It was probably at least somewhere in the ones, because it wasn't perfect. It wasn't the greatest episode ever known.
Right.
But you got to think, it was a solid episode. I'd probably give it a 1.5.
Okay. Well,
for me, you got to think a 2 would be exceptional. A 3 is the greatest thing in the world. You know what I mean?
Right. And I've been looking at them in that manner.
Yeah.
You know, starting at 0.
That's what I'm going to start doing, is starting at 0 and then giving it, because I didn't have any negatives to take it down. So
to me, you know, I thought it was at that excellent stage, or just a hair above excellent. To me, this was definitely, you know, going back 1 through 4, my rating for those 4 was a 1.75. Mm-hmm. 5 through 7, I was a 1.75. Last week, I was a 2. This week, I'm a 2.25. I think we've all been there to begin with, because Ken, you went 1.75, 1.5, 2.25 last week to now 1.5 for this week. And then Derek went 1.75, 2, and 2. And now he goes.
I don't know if any of that helped you out at all, though, Derek.
It did a little, yeah.
Because it's a weird way to, this rating system is a little weird to get your head wrapped around, because the closer you get to 0, the more you're thinking this is getting bad. It's bad if you're at 0. It's like, no, 0's just, it's down the center.
Yeah.
It's a strike.
it'd be like I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with a straight up 2.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there is no wrong. There's no.
Exactly.
Right. With these,
it's a good episode. I mean, we're averaged almost two there, is it? Just under 2?
Just under 2.
Is the average?
Yeah, just under 2. Hold on.
As Mike has lost power, it looks like.
No. So, y'all were asking what the combined rating is?
Oh, yeah.
1.92 is our average from the three of us.
It's not bad.
Which is still respectable. No. Yeah, I'm good with that. So, does anyone else have any other stories?
That goes with something I saw. You know.
Nothing.
I mean, we may have covered it all, but let me look. There's something else I read. Oh, it's kind of a final thought type thing, but we got more information about the re-release of The Phantom Menace for this year.
Yeah. Well, we haven't even talked about that. May 4th. I thought
they had mentioned a while ago that they're re-releasing it. And we talked about that.
Right.
They're supposed to be re-releasing everything
on the movie. On May 4th, they're doing, you go to the theaters, you go catch all 9 films.
Yes. Well, on the 3rd, they're re-releasing The Phantom Menace for an actual short run. I don't know how long it'll be, but... And then Fandango is actually doing, with Fathom Events and stuff, doing the 9 marathon. Movie marathon.
Yeah.
Which I would love to do, but I would pass out in the middle of one of the movies. And if I'm going to pay that much to go see a movie, I want to see it all.
Yeah.
Question is, can I just buy a trilogy at a time?
Probably not. No, you can come and go during the, like, if there's stuff you want to skip, you can always just go get dinner and come back.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I just want to go see the original trilogy and leave. I'm not paying that type of money.
Well, with the re-release of The Phantom Menace, though, they're actually putting out a first look at The Acolyte with it.
Yeah.
That's starting with exclusively in the theater to start with.
Especially since that'll be
obviously it'll be everywhere else after that.
But. Right. Especially since that will be a month before Acolyte drops.
Mm-hmm. But this actually comes with a new poster by Matt Ferguson for The Phantom Menace. It has the Acolyte banner on the bottom of it too. Let's see what else it was with it. And they're saying about some new merch and stuff that's available too. So it's going to be fun. I may have to go see the Phantom Menace is probably the one I've seen in the theater the most, just because it's had re-releases and I was there when it first came out.
Right. Well, it's the only one to go 3D too.
Exactly. I actually have it on 3D on Blu-ray.
Okay.
That's because that was released right before the Disney buyout. And Disney canceled the 3Ds.
Yes.
Or no, it was announced, I think, before, and then it was released by Disney, but that's because most of the work was already done.
But there was poor attendance, poor numbers for the Phantom Menace, so they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's the major difference between Disney and Lucas. George Lucas would have done all the movies in 3D because they look really cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Disney, if it's not going to make money, they're not going to do it. They're not going to put money into it if they're not getting money out of it.
Right.
If George broke even, he'd keep doing it.
Yeah. So.
So.
You and I briefly talked about it, Ken, before show. The new poster for the promo teaser poster for Celebration Japan.
Yes. Do you see that one, Derek?
No.
Oh, Celebration Japan poster. Go to StarWars.com on their news page has some info about Celebration Japan for next year. And the poster's on there. It is fantastic. And remember, we're only a year and 2 months? So like 13, 14 months away from this.
Yeah. Because I think it's around Easter next year, 2025.
May 2nd. Oh, no. Tickets go on sale May 2nd.
Yeah. It's around Easter next year. Because all of a sudden, that's been the thing is to put Celebration around Easter.
April 18th through the 20th.
Yeah, I think that's and Easter 2025 is April 20th.
Wow, that jumped way back from where it is this year. This year, it's like, why is it? I don't know how they figure that stuff out, but
2025, it's April 20th, 2026, April 5th, 2027, it's back in March, March 28th. And then we go 1, 2, 3, 4 years in April, with the latest being like April 21st. And then 2032 goes back to March.
I know it has something to do with the solstices or something with the way Christmas feels or so. I forget what it was.
I don't remember. It's almost like Easter ties in with a lunar calendar.
Yeah. I know it also has something to do with the Jewish holidays too.
I heard
Jewish calendar is all lunar.
Figured out the date.
Well, right now we have Easter through 2034. In 2030, we'll roll the die for 34 through,
yeah,
through 45.
So yeah, but this poster is amazing. It's got Mount Fuji dead center. It's the Japanese. It says the it's where to go, Sumi-e style of painting.
Yeah, it has.
It says
it very much has a Star Wars Visions-esque vibe to it as well.
Yeah.
I really dig the poster.
Do we have another season of Visions coming?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
I would not be surprised to see a push for more Vision stuff here at Celebration Japan.
Okay, so I guess just a quick tangent. If we get more Visions, which style do you want it done? Do you want more Japanese anime style like season one? Or you want them to go international like they did season two? And me asking that question, I kind of came up with my own answer.
Actually, I would almost like them to go a little bit of a different direction. Do the Japanese anime style, but do like what Tartakovsky did, where it's actually just a short run series, where it's one story through the whole thing, but do it
in
Japanese anime Star Wars.
Yeah, I would like that.
So this season three, say it's 9 episodes. Each episode's done by Carrie. They're all given their part of the storyline, but each studio gets a separate episode.
Possibly, yeah.
That would be cool.
They get a script, so they actually know what the story is.
Right. They get what's before them, and they get what's coming after, so they know how to set up their episode.
And actually, I wouldn't mind, this would be kind of cool. Doing that, the anime style and stuff would be cool with doing a variation on like a certain point of view. Two stories that are in canon, but from another character's point of view. They do it in anime style.
Well,
yes. Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Let me pose this question then. What about revisiting a character from season one and doing a 9 episode story arc again with each studio doing a different episode, but it's starting off with the same studio that did the original character? And that's the Ronin episode, which I believe was episode one.
I go back and rewatch all the episodes anyway. I've only seen them all once.
I think because there's been so much love for the Ronin character, who was a Jedi, now a Sith, now is a Sith hunter. If you remember his collection of, or he's a hunter of some sort, force wielding hunter of some sort. But he had the cool astromech with the traditional straw hat on top. Mm-hmm. Let's do a nine episode arc on him. Almost like a for season three, almost like a Kung Fu esque or Shogun esque like story arc. But each episode,
I'm gonna say go with that because I've been watching Shogun on FX.
That one I like. I'm enjoying that. That's pretty good.
I just finished Warrior on Max, and I liked it. I just started Shogun, and I, like you guys, I'm liking it.
What I really like is if you watch it on Hulu, you get the they have an English dubbed version.
Yeah.
Makes it much easier. I mean, there is some Japanese in it still. Like, if they're in scenes that have the Portuguese or the engine or whatever they call him in the scene, then they're still in Japanese with subtitles. But if it's all Japanese in that entire scene, then they switch over.
Okay. I've been watching it the way it was presented with the Japanese being subtitles, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I would love to see the Ronin character, that first, I believe it was the first episode of season one, a nine issue story arc where they bring back the different studios or even maybe bring in some new ones, and each episode, all the same characters, whatnot, but each episode is in that studio's animation styling.
I have an even crazier idea. How about for season three of Visions? It's live action and every episode's from a different genre.
No, because the whole,
like, you have a Western style, you have a samurai style, you have a mob style.
See, the whole concept of Visions though is supposed to be animated,
animation, it's featuring different styles of different places.
Right.
So you do an actual short run live action series anthology where each of them is in a different genre of film.
That could be interesting.
If you only do like six episodes, I mean, it'd be a lot more expensive, obviously, but.
Well, even if it was done anime style, you know, what studio is known for doing a lot of Western anime or animation work?
I don't know.
Who does a lot of horror animation work? I mean, it could be film noir style.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's
black and white with rain.
That's another great idea.
That would be one we've not really seen in Star Wars, is actually a true detective story.
Right.
Like the hard-boiled detective, like a
you know who would be a great writer for that, with that film noir style? Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Have Frank Miller do something along the line of his Spirit or Sin City vibe in Star Wars.
Actually, I've been lazy reading a bunch of the Dresden Files, so like Jim Butcher would be a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does much in the way of film work at all, or TV, but I like the Dresden Files books.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts, guys, or comments?
Nope. I got nothing.
I don't have anything either. So,
gentlemen, sounds like there's only one thing left to be said.
Give the evacuation code signal.
All right, cut the chatter.
Jet, I can hold it.
Pull up!
No, I'm all right.
I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit.
I've lost R2.
Oh, my God.